You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon called Raising the Standard. And we've done this for a lot of years, and we're going to continue to raise the standard. So we trust that you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we greet you as always, and we always mention most of the time that there's probably somebody listening right now today that's never listened to this program before. So we trust that you'll be blessed, not because of us, but because of the Word of God. And we've got Bob McKnight here with us today and Miss Margie Swaney. So we got some people that are going to share some things, plus myself and my wife. So we greet you, and we welcome you to the program again as we continue on. So we want to remind you all to keep the Bahamas in prayer. Boy, I was thinking about that this morning again, those poor people over there. And so they need a lot of prayer and they need a lot of help. So whatever the Lord shows you to do with it, well, then you make sure you do that. And hopefully they'll get through this quickly, but it's going to take a long time. But anyway, just keep them in prayer. That was a disaster. And we're fortunate here in South Florida that we missed the bullet, didn't we? It could have been really bad, but we didn't have it happen. And so, anyway, a lot of things to pray about. So we're honored to be here with you. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island. Thank God they were in the part of the Bahamas where the storm didn't hit them. And he's in that construction project right now, building the church over there on Andros Island. We thank the Lord that he's going to get that accomplished. And no damage was done at all, and he will continue the work to finish that program, the building done, so he can have the programs that will go on and continue to be used in a great way on the island there. And so you might want to keep them in prayer as well. So we're honored to be here with you. And so we trust that you can, as we said, stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, we offer CDs for anybody that wants one. And all we ask for is a love offering. And you just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give, and you send it in. We'll be glad to send you out a CD of the program if you missed some part of it. So we're honored to be here with you on that. Another thing I want to mention, we haven't done it for a couple of weeks. You know, we're asking people if you can help support this radio program. You know, we have to pay for this time, and maybe somebody will volunteer. We've had some people in the past do it, and if you want to take one program, it's $165 for one program. We'd be glad to receive that, and you'd be blessed, and or even for half a program, whatever. Whatever the Lord shows you, you just do that, and we should use it for your glory and your honor and everything. Or somebody may just want to give us an offering, and so we thank you for that as well. So glory
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
You got something else?
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I want to give our telephone number.
Go right ahead, honey.
And I want to mention, too, that yes, they could give just, you know, whatever the Lord would lay on their heart.
Yeah.
And they can mail it to Spirit of Prophecy, Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip code is 34995. So that would be a blessing. And I wanted to show Pastor Gene's book. Maybe you can hold that book up, Pastor Gene. And this book is, we just thank the Lord. He's going to be doing some teaching from that today. We're going to be teaching about Rosh Hashanah. And these are all the feasts, God's prophetic calendar, prophetic pictures of the Messiah. You can order this book for $25. And it reveals all the festivals or the feasts of the Lord. And, you know, every one of them, plus also the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is very important. Every Saturday we have Shabbat at the Alliance Church. I mean, we rent the Alliance Church, and we use the facility there. And we thank the pastor there for allowing us to use that facility. So this book that he held up is $25 plus shipping and handling. If you'd like to have a copy of it, it would be a great blessing to you. And it's a teaching. And you just look at the feast or wherever the festival we're on, and we're coming up on Rosh Hashanah,
won't be
which
long.
Is the head of the year, and we'll be talking about that and the catching away, or a lot of people call it the rapture of the church, and the true believers, those who are looking for the Lord to come back and to catch us away. Amen. It's going to happen one day.
That's right.
It's going to happen one day. A lot of people say, well, when? Well, we don't know exactly when, but it's going to happen one day, and it could be soon. And very soon.
That's right.
So we do pray for the Bahamas and for Roscoe and Audrey. And Roscoe's going to be coming over here pretty soon. And and if you'd like to give an offering towards the church as well, that would be. And I know a lot of people need everybody needs something, don't they? But whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But I want to mention that we have at 2:00 today, we'll be having Shabbat. And that's at 445. Southeast Osceola Street in Stewart, right next to the hospital, the North Hospital, at 2 p.m. So come and join us for our Sabbath service. Amen. Phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Pastor Gene. Okay.
I'm going to look at this a little different than we have in the past, although a lot of things are similar, but I want to show you some things here. I want to read some scriptures and see if it strikes anybody's thought pattern. I'm going to go over to the book of Nehemiah, where I'm going to start today. And we're in the month of Elul right now, the sixth day today. And that's the sixth month on God's prophetic calendar. And it's a time called Teshuvah, where people are returning to God. And they blow the shofar every day in Israel and all. And so God wants us to remember this because it's important in our understanding of the full picture of God and what he's got put in place. He talked about those seven appointed times, Pastor Donna. There's really eight because we have the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the first one, the main one. So I'm going to take you to Nehemiah. Now, if you look at Nehemiah, chapter 7 and 8 gives you the whole history of the Jews when they came back from captivity and the number of people. God's an incredible bookkeeper. If you read chapter 7, verse 66, down through the first few verses, or the tail end of those verses, I should say, you'll find out he counts there. Listen to this. The whole congregation together was 42,303 score. He gives you the exact number of people. Beside their manservants, their maidservants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 singing men and singing women. Their horses, seven, even counted the horses, 700, read it in, their horses, 736, their mules, 245, their camels, 430, and 6,720 asses. It's all here. It's amazing. So that this recaps the whole thing of those that come back. And if you're a study of history a little bit, you'll find out that after the captivity with the Babylonians, there was only about 50,000 Jews that came back to Israel. They all could have came back, but they didn't. They wanted to stay. They were happy with where they were. And we have a lot of that going on today. How many people in America, Jewish people, would make Aliyah and go back to Israel right now? Not very many, because they're happy with what they have, okay? So they were the same way. So only 50,000 out of all those people went back to be with Israel. Back to Israel. All right. Now, where I want to start here, I'm in chapter 7 with you. Chapter 7. Where do I want to start? Let's look at the very last verse in chapter 7. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of the Torah of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday. Okay, imagine they stood there from morning until midday before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive into the book of the law or the Torah. And Ezra the scribe stood up on a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, all, which I'm not going to mention all these names, but this is all the priesthood and the people that were involved with the priesthood with Israel. And then verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people, listen to this, they all stood up. And wouldn't that be something? Can you imagine standing up from early in the morning until noon, huh? And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. And lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, I just read that. I want to ask you, you listeners, was there anything in there that would click with you about the time of the year, what this is all about, so you would know and understand what God's wanting us to know of the season? Mm-hmm. Well, it's all right here. It tells you the seventh month. Yes. Well, what is the seventh month on the Jewish calendar? It's the month we're going to talk about what trumpets comes, okay? So right now we're in the month of Elul. So we got what, there's actually 30 days on the Jewish calendar, but the way they set it up now, 29 days 1 year and 30 days the next or whatever. But there's 29 to 30 days every month called Teshuvah. And they blow the shofar every day, and it's a time of repentance to come back to God before the day of what? Rosh Hashanah, which is trumpets. Well, what is that all about? Rosh Hashanah is known as a day of judgment. Now, we've talked about this on the radio program over in Daniel chapter 7 about the books being opened. God's got three books he's going to open on that day. The righteous, the in-betweens, and the wicked. And there will be a day at the end of Jacob's trouble where it will be open for the last time. So where I would ask people, you know, where would we be at this particular time? Well, when all this comes to pass, we're going to read about, it's going to be, we're going to be in heaven, but the Jews have to go through all this. And so the question is, what are they going to do with this? And so on trumpets, what do they say to one another? May you be written, what? May you be inscribed, in the book
of life.
Of life.
Yes.
Not the Lamb's book, but in life. And then during those 10 days, they meet one another and they say, may you be sealed until the day of what? Judgment. What day is that? That's the day of atonement. Yes. So they'll have 10 days at the end to get right. So we're coming up on this season again. Could the Jewish people, could it possibly be this year? If it is, well, they better get busy because there's a lot to be done because the Lord's going to come. And so here we mention this. It's in this chapter, chapter 7. It mentions the seventh month. And we go down here to chapter 8, verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before, the Torah, before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Well, what day is that? If you don't know any Jewish roots, you have no clue what it is. It's trumpets. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of a new year. Isn't it interesting that God had them come back on trumpets? This is when this all started, showing them something new that he was going to bring in their lives at this particular time.
It's on Tishri 1.
It's on Tishri 1. And this is the seventh month. And so, and then we see that Ezra made this pulpit. That's the first pulpit that we hear about in the Bible, a wood pulpit. And he stood up and he read the Torah from morning until noon for the benefit of the people. Amen. And then we go down here in the same chapter 8, and verse 9 says, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. You hear this? What's holy? Tishri 1, trumpets. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Torah. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what most people remember about the book of Nehemiah. It's what? It's about the joy of our Lord is what? It's the joy of our life is the Lord, nothing else. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on now. Verse 11. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day, now what day would this be now? The second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the Torah. So it's on the second day now, okay?
Tishri 2.
Well, we know that, hey, look, every month with the Jewish people, they're trying to determine the exact moment of the new moon. So they honor what? 2 days. So here's the second day they're talking about. Now we go to verse 14. And they found written in the Torah, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Well, what are we talking about here? This is talking to and referring to what? The Feast of Tabernacles, which is a picture, a pattern for us for the kingdom of God. And that runs from Tishri 15 to the 21st. And verse 15, and they that should publish, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. What, they were going to live in those for these days to honor what God had did in the wilderness. So he prepared them and took care of everything. Their shoes didn't wear out. He really took care of them. Verse 16, so the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of a captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, this is talking about Joshua, until that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was a very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day of what? Tabernacles, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. So what was the eighth day? It was a high Sabbath, wasn't it? According to this, the word of God. So here, this is interesting. These two chapters in the book of Nehemiah gives you the history. It shows you every person in here in seven that came back from the captivity. It tells you how many in each tribe and everything. Wow. It's amazing. And he started all this on Tishri 1, which is what? Rosh Hashanah. A new beginning is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so the day we came to Christ, all of us that are born again, it was a new day for us, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a new beginning for us. And Don and I looked it up one time quite a few years after we got saved. And the day that we got saved together back in 1982, we looked it up and we actually made a commitment to the Lord on the Day of Atonement. Remember that, Pastor Don? We found out it was on the Day of Atonement before I knew a thing about anything about the Jewishness in the Scriptures. And so you that are listening, remember, we've been robbed of so much that people don't understand. People just read over this and don't even think anything about it. Mm-hmm. But the seventh month is so important because it's going to be the conclusion of everything and the kingdom will be established. In fact, if you look at the seventh month from Tishri 1 until the 21st, well, actually the 22nd with the high Sabbath, in 22 days it'll all be over 1 year and the kingdom will be established. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
22 days from beginning to end, it'll all be over on the last day of Jacob's trouble. So Israel's got a job to do. What it could be? It could be this year. They got a work to do, don't they? They need to come to the Lord. They need to turn their heart over to him. So trumpets is very important and to understand the depth of all of it so that we might see what God's wanting us to know with all of it. And the seventh month is so key. The first month is key. What's the first month? It's the month of Nisan. What came then? We had Passover, didn't we?
Yes.
And in the conclusion of it, 7 months later, we come to the month of Tishri, and that's going to be the conclusion of everything. And so God gives you all the information from the beginning into the end, exactly how he's going to do things and how it's going to end. And it all lines up with his holy word and those appointed times. Those appointed times that he put in place in Leviticus chapter 23 is our Christian foundations, but people don't look at it. They say, well, Pastor Gene, you're trying to bring us back under the law. Well, we're not bringing anybody under any legalism of the law. That's not the thought. Well, we want you to know the whole truth of God's word and everything. And we see in the New Testament that the disciples and Yeshua, they spoke of these times. Jesus even honored Hanukkah over there in John chapter 10. He was in a temple when all that came to pass, and he was sharing things that people didn't fully comprehend. But as he talked with them, they began to hear what he had to say by the Spirit, and they began to realize that they had missed some wonderful things that he wanted them to know and to understand. So we've had that with the church for years. We've been robbed, you know. We've changed this book into a Christian book and said, this book I got in my hands, this King James Bible, this is a Jewish document. That's what it is. But we Christians, what? We glean from that, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Yes.
We get all the things we need to know from this holy book that we have called the Bible. And they fit together, the first covenant and the second covenant, they fit together like a glove, perfect. They just fit perfectly together. You've heard me talk about a gentleman that we closed on a house one time, an attorney. He was a Jewish man. And when we finished the business, I always like to ask a Jewish person, well, how did you come to know Yeshua as your Messiah? And he was telling me and Donna that he listened to a program on the radio coming into work every day, and it wasn't a Christian network. And a man would take a scripture out of the first covenant and bring it into the new and explain what it meant and why. And you know what? He said, I'm going to go buy a Bible. I'm going to check this guy out. So he went and got a Bible, he said, and started reading it. And before he got through the book of Matthew, he was on his knees crying before the Lord, asking him to come into his life. So you see what we have? The Word of God will open our hearts. It softens our heart to receive what God wants us to know in this day and this hour. So this is a special time of the year. Here we are now. We're in a little six, all right? We're coming up to the end of the month, and then we're going to come to this time again. And it's more than just a Jewish New Year. Everybody talks about the New Year, the joy and all of a New Year. No, it could be a brand new beginning one year for the real thing. And that's what God wants us to know. And so here we are. We can even ask each other even today, are you sealed? Huh? As Paul said, are you sealed until the day of judgment? What is that day? Well, with the Jewish people, we know it's the day of atonement. Are we written in the Lamb's book? It's the important thing. It's it. And so,
well, what does this, Pastor Gene, you're talking a lot about the Jewish people. So what did Paul say? You said that gentleman brought it up to the New Testament. So what did Paul say in Thessalonians that we're not going to be in that judgment area?
Nope.
But the catching away, or the church calls it the rapture, mm-hmm. will happen at the very beginning.
7 years before the time we're talking about.
And then there will be those 7 years of Jacob's trouble.
That's right.
Or Israel's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So what did Paul say in Thessalonians? Did he say we're going to go through that 7 years?
Absolutely
not.
Because
a lot of people believe we're going to go through the tribulation time.
I hear it preached all the time. We're going to go all the way through it. You know, Jesus suffered and the disciples suffered. So you're going to suffer too. But
you know, Jesus said that he's coming back for those who were looking for him.
That's right.
It's in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. But you're going to go to Thessalonians,
I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians with you. Let's see how the New Testament follows up with this. And we know this word I have in my hand and that you have was all given by who? By Yeshua. This is his holy word. Amen?
Amen.
It is his holy word. So I'm turning over here to 1 Thessalonians. I want to get over here to chapter 5 with you for a moment. I just want to show you something. I've heard this taught, and a few people have seen the truth in all this, but I want you to, we're going to read this and know this is all going to happen on what Paul called was the last trump. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well. The last trump, what's going to happen? It's going to be the last trump that's going to be blown on Rosh Hashanah. If you don't know this, you should. There's going to be 100 shofars blown on the Feast of Trumpets, okay? 100 of them. 33 in the morning in a particular sound, 33 at noon in a particular sound, 33 in the afternoon in a particular sound, and the last one is a big, huge shofar, loud, and it's called the Awakening Blast, and it's talking about resurrection. Amen?
Now, before you start sharing that, we blow shofars on Shabbat.
That's
Saturday,
right.
Like, well, today,
mm-hmm.
We blow shofars. Uh-huh. And I'm going to ask our brother, Bill, to demonstrate that.
Right.
And to tell us what these different sounds are, because there's different sounds and they all have different meanings.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Well, so I took you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to go to one verse, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us, that means you believers, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So what wrath is he talking about? Jacob's trouble. We will not be here. So let's back up into chapter 4 now. And then I'm going to take you to the beginning of 5. I'm going to start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, children, concerning them which are asleep. The word asleep in the Bible means what? Those that have died, and ye sorrow not. For if we believe that Jesus or Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in Yeshua will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul didn't dream this up. It came from the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to precede those. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain in Yeshua will be caught off the earth. We're going to read this. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend in from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of, there's your trump of God, the last shofar. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Did you notice now it doesn't say that Christ is coming back to the earth? We're going to meet him in the sky, aren't we? Then we which are alive and remain, verse 17, shall be caught up together with them. Who's them? Those, let's read this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who are the them? Those that went out of the grave first of all, the dead in Christ, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now this verse 18, if we were going to go through this hell on earth, why would Paul stick this in the Bible? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, knowing that you're not going to go through this. And then we go into chapter 5, and there's some misunderstanding about this, and this is all talking about a time. We're talking about trumpets and Rosh Hashanah. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, these fixed times and all. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now I hear this all the time on TV, on radio. Oh, watch out. He's coming as a thief in the night. We're going to find out. He will not be a thief if you're awake and aware and know these seasons that God has in store for the church and for the Jews as well. Verse 3, for when they, these that are outside the church, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What's this referring to? This is referring to what? Jacob's trouble. Verse 3 is Jacob's trouble. Now verse 4, now don't you like the buts in the Bible?
Yes.
But ye, it means you all, brethren, we're born again, are not in darkness, if that day should overtake us, or you, as a thief. Hear that? Ye are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That doesn't mean we're going to not be drunk. It means we're going to be self-controlled. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, what? Are drunken in the night. But let us, the believers who are of the day, be sober, self-control, huh? Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And here's our verse again. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and that are over you in the Lord, that admonish you, and so on. Now, I want to go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay.
Now, Paul wrote this chapter. defending what? The resurrection out from among the dead and also the catching away. So what's that? What day is that going to come on? Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, I believe that with all my heart. And we can prove it right here. This whole chapter is to defend that. I'm not going to read everything, but I want to go over to chapter 15, verse 50. Let's start right there. Okay. Paul's writing by the Holy Ghost. Now this I say, brethren, so he's talking to believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We have to be changed, don't we?
Yes.
Behold, I show you a mystery. Here's the mystery now. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die, but we shall all what? Be changed or transformed. What day will that be on? It's going to be on Rosh Hashanah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is that trump we talked about that Paul talked about in First Thessalonians chapter 4. The last trump, the last one that's blown on Rosh Hashanah, the awakening blast. You can read that in Ephesians also. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised what? Incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're all going to be transformed. This is going to be on Tishri 1, trumpets of that of a particular year. For this corruptible must put on how? Incorruption. How do we do that? We have to be changed. Mm-hmm. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. We won't die anymore. There's no death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And I believe that's a quote Paul took out of Isaiah chapter 25, I believe. And then it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When we know Yeshua, death has no sting. And the grave does not have the victory because we're not going to remain there, are we? The sting of death is what? Sin. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And the strength of the sin is what? It's the Torah, what the Torah says. Torah. If we don't obey the word of God, well, then we're entering into an area of sin. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how he closes it out with verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This whole chapter is referring to the resurrection.
Yes.
Aren't you glad? We go back over here now. We're still in chapter 15. Look at verse 20. Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become what? The first fruits of them that slept. He's the first fruits. For since by man came death, who was that? Adam.
Adam.
By man, who's that man? Yeshua, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man, listen to this, in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his what? His coming. When he's going to come back.
When he comes, coming in the sky.
When he comes in the sky. So this is an incredible chapter, chapter 15. Paul, the whole purpose was to defend the resurrection and all. And a lot of people didn't believe it. But
so during that time when he comes in the sky, his feet will not touch the earth. He will, that trumpet sound will come.
Come from heaven.
And
we're going to hear it. Amen. Only those. Wow.
And we'll meet him in the sky. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive will be changed.
That's right. And all those in their graves are going to pop out, aren't they? They put into a supernatural body and to go to heaven. You know, something like I think about Paul. Paul's been dead for hundreds of years. His body is still in the grave, okay? Still in the grave. But where's his spirit and soul at? They're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord.
Yes.
And so when this day comes, though, that body has been in the grave all those years, all of a sudden is going to come out and be put into some kind of supernatural body that will never die and live forever. And it's incredible when you think about it. That's the day that we're looking forward to. Amen?
Forever.
You know, I think about our ex-pastor. He used to preach it, but he didn't have his wish come true. He said, I want to go in the second load, not the first load. He didn't want to die. He wanted to be caught off the earth. Well, he wasn't caught off the earth. And there's only been a few people caught off there. Who's been caught off the earth? Just two that we know
of.
Enoch
and Elijah. The only two that were taken off the earth in their mortal bodies, okay? And, of course, there's only been one resurrection, like Yeshua's. He was the first fruits that came back from the dead. So we have all these wonderful promises to look forward to. And Paul quoted this stuff so wonderful and covered everything that we needed to know in regards to all of this.
There were several people that died that were rose from the dead, but they had to die again.
That's right. We have Lazarus. Remember, he was dead for 4 days. He'd already died.
Then Elijah raised somebody from the dead.
That's right.
Several people.
That's right.
But they didn't go to heaven. They had to die again, didn't they?
Be a terrible thought. Terrible thought that you'd have to die twice, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Okay.
Well, we have Miss Margie. Yes. Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that was just kind of an introduction to show you how important these appointed times are. Every single one of them is important. So we're in this time now called Teshuvah. Honor that. Repent. Come before the Lord. Ask Him to show you is there anything in your life that would hold you back and keep you from going to heaven. Like when you take communion, examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you not? Or are you just playing around with God? See, God's not playing around. He's serious about what's going on. Either we're with Him or we're not. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot with the Lord. Amen. All right, Margie, go right ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Gene, and I'm very grateful that Yeshua and our Heavenly Father has an order for everything.
Yes, He does.
Because it can create a lot of confusion if there is an order and a set
He's got an order for everything, doesn't He?
Yes. So I would like to talk a little bit about the fivefold ministry that we talked about last week.
Okay.
And I would also like to bring the New Testament, the New Testament in with the Old Testament or the New Covenant and into the Old Covenant. So in Ephesians 4, we read that last week, but I would like to read just a little bit. Ephesians 4, 1.
A little louder, please, Margie. Thank you.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord,
yes,
beseech you that ye walk worthy,
whoa,
of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Yes.
And I'm seeing this as an God's order here. There is one body and one Spirit.
Yes.
Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive,
yes,
and gave gifts unto men.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left gifts to the saints. And verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. The fivefold ministry is very much alive today and very active. It is not God's intention for pastors to attempt to equip and build up the body alone. Fivefold ministers are meant to cooperate in their special giftings and abilities and together govern, guide, gather, ground, and guard God's people.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ ascended, he took his whole mantle, divided it, and gave it in five parts to men and women, not just to the men and the women. All five are needed to perfect, mature, and equip the saints. So in Ephesians 4:13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Perhaps a good analogy can be given as like how a physical hand functions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is the apostle, which is the thumb. And the thumb is designed to complete the full function and power of the hand. Apostles function in administration. They lay the foundation with the true word of God, proper doctrinal and spiritual structure. They activate, impart, and demonstrate to the body of believers, and they help local pastors restore order and unity in existing congregations. And Pastors Gene and Pastor Donna are doing this. They restore and they refresh and they speak the true word of God, as you hear here on WCNO, Raising the Standard. Thank you, Father. And teaches us our Jewish roots. They are raising the standard on how to walk a holy life. They teach, train, and activate and equip the saints. Amen. The prophet is the forefinger, the pointer finger. Prophets flow in guidance, instruction, judgment, and revelation. They speak for the purification and perfection of his church. The evangelist is the middle finger. It extends out the furthest. And I was thinking about evangelize. When you evangelize, you go out.
Yeah.
You go out. So we praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. It represents the outreach ministry to evangelize to the world and locally, winning souls to Jesus. The pastor is the ring finger, the wedding ring finger, symbolizing the pastor's commitment to his flock. They are in a shepherd relationship. The teacher is the little finger. The smallest finger provides balance. The teacher grounds the church in truth through instruction in the principles of the Word of God. In conclusion, a person does not call or appoint himself.
That's right.
It is important that the Lord appoints you.
You better know you've been called, yes.
Yes. You do not appoint yourself, because it may not work out.
It certainly won't if it's not of God. Yeah.
Yes, it is a gift or call of Christ himself. You don't just decide to be a teacher or an apostle. You must be called. And also, if you want to read more about this, you can go to 1 Timothy 3 and read that on your own, and also Titus. Everyone has a gift and a purpose in the body of Christ. We all work together in the unity and love of to accomplish God's will. So in Ephesians 4, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And in verse 16, of Ephesians 4, from who the whole body fits jointly together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Yes.
So I'd like to tie in Exodus 18, if we could go to Exodus 18, and this is about Moses' father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 1, when Jethro, he was a priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Thank you, Father. And in verse 13, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening." So Moses was very busy because you know, there was over 600,000 men, and not beside the children and the mixed multitude that Moses brought through the wilderness. So 600,000 people, can you imagine all these people coming to Moses?
Yeah.
So in verse, thank you, Lord, 13. Thank you, Father, in 14. "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone?'" God never intended the pastors or the apostles to be alone.
That's right, to do it all. Yeah.
Yes, Father. "Why sittest thou alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until night?" And Moses said unto his father, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. And so thou wilt surely wear away." You can become very weary. And so, you know, as our pastors today become weary because they do not have enough help in their congregation. So right here in the First Testament, God's telling Moses, get help.
He needed help, didn't he?
He needed help.
So it's very important, because you know what? In the end times, which is now, it's the end times are now.
Yeah.
People will be coming in, and they're going to need a lot of help. So there's a lot, and there's enough gifts that God has for each and every person to operate in the congregation. And so a lot of help is going to be needed as the people start coming in to the churches. They're going to need a lot of help. Amen?
Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Archie. That's really good. It's interesting. Now, you used the hand as an explanation of the fivefold ministry.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, how you put your fingers in like this?
Yes.
And that's like the church. They're all in the church, but then what if you do it this way? They're also supposed to be seen out of the church.
Yes.
So they go out. So there's, you know, they go out into the highways and the byways, and we talked about the apostle. The apostle touches each and every one.
Yes.
Where the other fingers don't. Show them like that, Margie. The apostle can touch each and every one of those, the prophet, the evangelist,
multitask,
the pastor and the teacher.
Yes.
All of them.
They can cross-pollinate, yeah.
That's right. So we need all five of them. And then we didn't really talk about the other gifts. You know, there's other gifts of helps and
yes.
and miracles, other gifts as well. So perhaps we can talk about those. So there is a gift for everyone has been given a gift
yes.
from Christ. And we should all use that gift. So you need to seek the Lord and ask the Lord what gift he has given you.
Yeah.
And Bob, you were going to share a little bit with us, and you can show this on Facebook. Bob has worked with the ministry, and you don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but Bob has worked with the ministry, and he has, these are about Christmas and Easter, which you know Pastor Gene has shared about that in the past, that those were created by man.
Mm-hmm. Pagan.
So could you want to say something about that, Bob?
Sure. Pastor Gene earlier today mentioned Dorothy Miller's book, Forbidden Knowledge. And Dorothy Miller is known much better for something else that she did. She wrote the movie script for the video, God's Story, which is subtitled From Creation to Eternity. And it's a 84-minute video that covers the Bible from beginning to end and tells the story of how God has reached out to man and provided the Savior from the very beginning of time until the end. And this video, the audio track, is available as a free gift to you here, to the ones that are listening to this, to our program today. And it's available in English or Spanish for free. It's also available in over 350 other languages.
Wow.
So if you like the English or the Spanish, you can order them directly from the God Story Project in Hemet, California. And this is a free gift. It's 84 minutes long. And I was talking to the person that's running the program today, doing the recording, and she told me that she had been listening to it over and over and thought that it was very good. And so I don't want to put any words in her mouth, but I wanted to thank her for what she said.
Amen. That's awesome. So you have a lot of these copies?
We have over 100 copies available.
So if somebody wanted to call in, could we can mail them a copy, right?
Yes, for sure.
Sure. Praise God.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
So it's about the whole Bible, entire Bible.
Entire Bible. It's 18 stories linked from the Bible, linked together from the creation all the way to the Lord's return as King of Kings in Revelation.
It's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise
Complete
the Lord.
Complete picture, huh?
Amen. So are we ready for the Catching a White, Pastor Gene?
We're ready. I was just...
We have about six more minutes
While Margie
here.
Was talking in Ephesians 4, I saw a couple other verses that's relating to this time of the year. We're in the fall. In chapter 4, verse 30, listen to this. Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." This is Yom Kippur. He's using his Jewish understanding to tell even the church today what needs to be done. And then we have an allusion over here, also in the same, in chapter 5, in verse 14, where it says, "Wherefore he saith to God, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." He's referring to what? The resurrection. So we got a lot of wonderful things that God's wanting us to know.
Yes.
That people just overlook, and we've been taught a lot of things, and we never think about, like Dorothy Miller, you know. She realized, hey, there's some things that's there. Said forbidden knowledge, she found out that it's not forbidden knowledge, because man has closed the book, doesn't mean that God's closed the book on it, you know. And it tells us in Daniel chapter 12, what? To seal up the book until the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end, so the book is being unsealed now for more people to find out all these wonderful things that God has in place. And he had the foundation laid right from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 gives you the 7,000-year program that God has in store and planned from God, what? From the beginning to end, to restore mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of
Amen.
Eden. So the time's moving on. So today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So for somebody listening today, you've heard some good things here today. Are you going to be a part of the resurrection? Are you going to be that group that's going to stay in the grave for another 1,000 years and be the judge at the white throne judgment? Your decision is up to you. You can either choose God or not. Your choice is right there. And as it tells us in Deuteronomy, God gave them all the promises, didn't he? Of the blessings.
Amen.
And then all the curses came. So at the end he says, today I set before you life and death. You choose. So what are you choosing today, you listeners today? Are you choosing life? Are you choosing death? Are you a lukewarm Christian? Are you wanting to serve God? Or are you just playing around with the Lord? You know, you go to church on Sunday to pacify your conscience. That's not the answer. You need to make a commitment in your heart and ask him to come into your life, and you'll never be the same again. So don't let the troubles of this world and the things that are going on to keep you from making that decision. So if you haven't done that, do it today. Ask the Lord to come in. And if you do, call us at area code 772-285-7007. Let us know. We can pray with you. Or call the radio station at 221-1100, and they'll pray with you as well that you came to Christ the Lord. Amen. So we're honored to be here with you, and we'll be here again next Saturday at the same time, and we'll go on a little bit further, won't we?
Amen. I want to give our phone number again.
Okay.
Area code 772 205-285-7007. And I want to mention that we do have Shabbat today
at 2 o'clock
mm-hmm. at the Alliance Church. The address is 445 Southeast Osceola Street, right next to the hospital. And I just want to thank the Lord for all of you who are listening to this. And we also want you to know that we love you and we care for you.
Yes.
And don't forget Pastor Gene's book if you want to know about the Feast of the Lord. You want to show that again, Pastor Gene? This book here is full of charts and Amen. Full of information and about all the feasts of the Lord, about what
all
else would you say? All the appointed times. And also there's appendix in there about the...
I got three appendixes in there. We got the actual biblical dates. It's revealed in the Bible of Jesus' conception. And his birth is in there, okay?
Okay.
And we got a couple others in there we wrote appendix on, okay.
About the end times.
Right.
And also there's information there about Daniel and the book of Revelation as
right.
well. So that book is $25 if you'd like to have that, plus shipping and handling. So, but just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail that to you and give you some more information if you'd like. So we want to say Shabbat Shalom, and we want to thank the Lord for everything. We have 2 minutes, Pastor Gene. Everything that the Lord is doing in our lives,
yes.
and we want to be looking up because our resurrection is could be soon, could
That's
be
right.
could be very soon.
Yes,
and we just thank God for His blessings of this this radio broadcast. Amen, and glory to God.
Well, I want to thank also. I'm thinking about Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros.
Yes,
thank you. They missed that bullet over there, and they're doing a great work. So keep them in prayer, and I know they're doing a tremendous work for the Lord and. So we love them much, and so we give you praise, Lord, for what you're doing on Andros Island as well, and take care of all the people on, or in, I should say, in the Bahama Islands.
In the Bahama
through
Islands.
This terrible time. Help them through it, Lord, somehow.
Yes.
Give them the strength, and if they look to you, they'll be able to accomplish and do that, and so we're thanking you for that. Amen.
We thank you for all the people that are helping and supporting and financially
right.
food, all different types of ways to
That's
help
right.
out. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So if you're going to sell money to that, I would suggest sewing it to a place that 100% of the money is going to be going to Andros, to not right. Andros Island,
like the Salvation
the
Army.
Well, no, I don't. Not
yeah.
going to say who.
Well, they're good.
I think. What's that purse? Well, anyways, just ask the Lord.
Samaritan's purse.
Samaritan's purse.
Samaritan's
That's
purse.
That.
Okay.
Samaritan's
yeah.
purse. Right. Amen. Okay. Bless the Lord.
That's right.
Samaritan's purse. You're familiar with them, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, Margie, blow that shofar, and we're going to close here. All right, so as we close here today, we greet you again. We hope you got something out of this. If you haven't accepted the Lord, today's the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And we tell you today is the day, so look up, because your redemption draweth
Nine.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.